wouldn't think that Barnabas and Saul would have taken a part for themselves, but if they had, it would have been because they told them to. Because I believe there was the trust and integrity there for that, for what they'd done. The next letter F, I believe we're Acts 15, whole chapter.
We also have to remember that they were very aware of what happened to Ananias.
That's right. That's right. They knew that story well. You don't mess. You just don't do stuff like that. Acts 15, he's got one, FF, whenever you put FF means verses following, all verses following. That's what FF means. And I used to know what the other two or three things were, and I forgot. But anyway, it's really not. It's really 1 through 35, if you want to be honest about it. Verses 1 through 35, to get what I think he's after in the answer. So what's the instance there with Barnabas? That's one thing. What was the other thing towards the about?
Barnabas stood with Paul before the Jewish council to Jerusalem.
So where did they end up going to resolve the matter? Back to Jerusalem. So they delivered the letter back to Jerusalem. And, of course, we have the letter that they had written. The council to go before them to see what they would say before the council, or some of them calls it the Jerusalem Council. I don't think it's termed that in the scripture, but that's commonly called that. You ever read? Did you read this and notice what the letter said? Of how brief it was, or I thought it was brief. Basically, the meat of the letter comes down to what about verse 28? For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. Farewell. That's really the instruction part of the letter. But if you think about it, the things that they listed there, what do you think? I don't think it's mentioned here, but it seems to be implied in the answer. What do you think one of the problems was? Idolatry, like idol worship. Maybe not in the church, but a lot of those folks had been baptized, probably come out of that. Because notice these things that he's mentioned there. You know, abstain from things that have been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, which in some idol worships, types of worship, they used, you know, blood to drink, blood to do this, blood to do that. And sometimes the source of the blood was questionable too. Where they would get it. There's not, to be honest, there's not that many that I know of, that many peoples in the world today, I'm not sure there were that then either, that drink blood on a regular basis. One of the rituals of the Messiah peoples, they take a cow and they hit that neck vein and they capture they don't kill the cow, but they capture probably, looks like a lot of blood, probably 2 quarts, something like that, quite a bit. And then they'll drink it, do all this. But I tell you what, you and I, if we drank blood, you know what we'd probably do? Get sick. That's something you have to kind of build a tolerance to almost. If you're not used to it, it'll make you sick.
The Mongols from Mongolia, you know, their horses were everything to them in world history. And they believed that if they would drink the blood of their horses, then they would be strong like a horse. And then, of course, you know the situation that happened in Africa where they think HIV came from was they were tapping into the blood of monkeys and drinking it to make them a little bit more something.
Yep, then you got to cross animal disease and people.
We have to remember back during this time that our worship and idolatry, a lot of it involved fornication or sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like you said, that's what it's all about.
Pretty much from everything I've ever seen about idolatry, it went hand in hand with sexual immorality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's where we get the word fornication, you know, is steeped in idolatry. You know, because it was in the fornicates of the temple, some say, the one of the goddess Diana, where they did the act, where the dirty deed was done, or at least a proposition for it.
If you look at whether this is or is not true, but the golden calf that Aaron just poured in, it came out of golden calf.
Yeah, it just jumped right out of the fire, yeah.
if you look at the golden calves that were used in Egypt in their worship, they were slain. Okay? And there are those people who say that what was happening was when they formed that golden calf, it was to have sex on it, in public display.
Yep.
Because when it says they rose up to play.
Yep, it could have a deeper meaning than playing games.
Yeah,
yep.
But that's what happened in Egypt. And a lot of people, if you read a lot of scholars, they theorize that that's what they decided. They wanted to fix a golden calf. And if you've ever seen pictures of the golden calves from Egypt, the back legs are short, front legs are long, and it's made so that they can lay on the back of it.
All kinds of things that people make up. But there again, you notice the things listed there to tell them if you do these things, what will happen. Keep yourself from these things, you will do well. So there's a lot of things encompassed in that, just that one verse there of their advice to them. The next few verses of letter G, 36 through 40. Mm-hmm. What? Go ahead.
No, that's all I got.
What was their purpose?
Strengthen the churches.
Strengthen the churches. Doesn't that sound like that's in character for Barnabas? To go encourage, to strengthen the churches. So this is not all we can say about Barnabas. There's a whole lot more scriptures about him, but you can kind of see the character there based on these few characteristics. And really, there's only one time we read about something negative about Barnabas, and that was when Paul withstood him and Peter to the face because they were showing partiality. They got caught up in something. They got caught up in the false notion of elevating some over the Jews over the Gentiles. And so they got caught up in that for some reason. And Paul withstood him to the face, and Barnabas was one of the ones he withstood to the face, according to the scriptures. And it's a brief mention, and that's the only mention negative we have about Barnabas that I can find in the scriptures. And that one's a big one, but yet it needed to be done. Question number 9. Now we're into chapter 5 of the book of Acts. Time's getting away from us, it looks like. But this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Get tongue-tied here. Tangled up and tripped. So question 1 is, what did Ananias and Sapphira do at this time?
Sold
a possession, sold some land. Why did they make the sale?
They were, other people were selling land, bringing in land as a
Yep. They did it because everybody else is doing it. Peer pressure could be, but I don't think it was peer pressure. I think it was myself. I think it was them wanting to say, look at how good I am. Look at what I can do. And whenever I think about this story and read it, and I wonder how many times they talk to people about this. Hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we're going to do. What did Jesus say about our almsgiving?
Well,
it's be private, but it said not to let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Yeah, I did that right. thought for a second I had it backwards. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. In other words, you don't just air out your good deeds of what you do. You just do them. You just do them. They obviously didn't get the memo on that. Number 10 is, why do you think that they decided to keep back part of the money?
I think it's selfishness for one thing, and it was for the recognition of the other people.
Did they plan it together?
Yes,
they planned it together. Now, this is what I've always found interesting about this is they could have just told the truth.
Right.
Yeah, we kept back, you know, we sold this for, we'll just use some numbers here. We sold it for $100,000. We decided we'd keep $10,000 to go on a vacation. Nobody would have thought any less of them, you know, in a situation like that. Nobody thought any less of them, I don't think. But they wanted to look like they evidently wanted to look like they had done something bigger than what they had done, and that was their downfall. Pride, perhaps, was their downfall. Number 11. What did Satan have a part in this? And if so, what?
If nobody answers yes, they're guilty.
Yes.
And if you go back and look. Three major temptations. This to me is a pride of life. They did it because they were prideful and wanted to be elevated and wanted to be highly thought of by everybody else.
Yep, and it worked. Not. They lost their life over it. Satan filled their heart to lie. Number 12 goes along with that, and is what question of Peter's shows that Satan can have no power over our heart unless we consent. Well, what is the statement or the question? Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? To me, this is the question that shows that Satan, even though he filled their heart, they could have said no. They could have resisted it. Would it have been easy? No, probably not, because they were already thinking in this way. They're going to conspire together and they're going to do this. We're going to deceive the people. Deceive the people. I'm not sure they thought that they would deceive God, but I tell you what, when you got an inspired apostle before you, I think I'd consider that. Consider especially one that you know, or I would think they'd know, has the power of the Holy Spirit working directly in him, you know, to teach and all this other stuff, that they could discern between what's a lie and what's not a lie. With the help of the Spirit, to me, it looked like that ought to have been concerning for them, but instead they let Satan have power over their heart. And number 13 is, what statement shows the members were not commanded to sell their property and give all? Found in verse 4. Yeah, was it not your own? And you could even pick the one that says, was it not in your own power or in thine own power? And So they had free will in the situation. Brother David Warren put it this way about them, about what they had done. Some people will say, well, let me say this first, and I'll get into what he talked about. But some would say that after, you know, verse 5, Ananias hearing these words fell down, gave up the ghost, he died, and great fear came upon all and heard these things. You know, there are people out there that argues that there was no time for repentance. There's several out there that write that don't take into consideration some of these things I'm fixing to lay before you. They look at it and say, well, he didn't have time to repent, so God was not fair to them in the taking of his life. Now just for a moment, let's back up. We see first that they decided to sell the land. Then they got together and said, this is going to be our story. Let's get our story straight. Before that, the Bible tells us that Satan had filled their hearts to lie. And I believe that because this was something that took a few days. Have you ever sold a piece of land? You didn't do it in one day, did you? You might have exchanged money in one day, but it took a while to get the paperwork done. You know, these days you got to lawyer up, and you got to do this, you got to do that, and you got to make sure the title's good. And, you know, and I can't imagine it was that much easier back in that day and time. You know, it takes a few days to do that. If you buy something with a house on it, what's about the best you can do? Even if you got cash money, about 20, 25 days. That's about the absolute best you can do. Because of all the stuff, the red tape, and everything you got to jump through. So think about that. Say it took half that long. It took them 10 days to get the paperwork, get it sold, getting all this stuff done. So say it took 10 days. They had time to think about what they were doing. They had time to change the plan, scrap the plan, not do the plan. Time for repentance was there. It was there. They had time to change their mind. Brother Warren said it this way, that he said he could imagine them walking into church and maybe getting a high five or two. Oh, we're proud of what you're doing for the church. We're glad you're going to do this. We heard you're going to sell a possession, sell some land and give the money to the church. That's a great thing. And probably got some notoriety within the congregation for that. And I was like, well, I never thought of it that way that he brought it up. So
I submit that they had time to repent from the time that they laid it at the apostles' feet because they were asked two or three questions.
Yeah.
Did you sell it for so much?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And I almost wonder if they wasn't something in there like, are you sure?
But I mean, there's two or three questions asked that would make them or should make them pause.
Well, think about the Simon the sorcerer. When they told him this, you know, this, this, and this, what did he say? What did he do? The next verse wasn't they struck him dead. The next verse was he begged them to pray for him that God would forgive him of the thought of his heart. We don't read that here.
You giving the invitation and somebody should respond does not, and they walk out the back door and would say, oh, they didn't have time.
Yeah. What does the Corinthian letter say? Now is the accepted time. Now is the accepted time for response, not tomorrow, not the next day. Anyway, I wanted to just kind of point out, I'm of the belief that they had time to repent. They could have changed their mind. There's all kinds of things that they could have done, but they didn't do. They chose not to do. Question number 14 is, what happened to Ananias and Sapphira as a result of their attempted deceit? They died, both of them. And is it possible to commit the same sin today? Yep. What are some ways we can commit that sin?
If we remember the verse, it talks about our giving, not out of necessity. We're supposed to be free will. Things, all the things, the qualifications of if we, and when I was young, I've heard preachers preach about somebody take a coin and drop it down into the collection plate so everybody can hear it.
So it can be heard, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that.
Holding it up so everybody can see what you're dropping in the collection plate.
Yeah, that sounds very Ananias and Sapphira-like. I thought about this line to make oneself look good. Bending the truth, stretching the truth to boast yourself up. And that's easy for us to slip into, but I mean, that's essentially what they were doing. They were just lying to make themselves look good before everybody, so they thought. Number 16, what effect did this case of discipline have upon the church and others that heard it?
Great fear.
Increase
in
faith. Yep. They now people even within and without the church understood that, hey, this God thing serious. This Christianity is serious. I'm thinking if there was anybody that was on the fence, they ain't on it anymore. They figured it out. We got to get with the program, or else we might end up like Ananias and Sapphira. It might not be good for us. Number 17, how do you explain the different effects produced by church discipline then and now? Well, the effects should be the same, right? Whenever church discipline is exercised, it ought to bring fear upon everybody else that, hey, I need to make sure I'm doing right, make sure I'm in line. We just don't see it. We don't see a lot of church discipline and, you know, exercised, or hear a lot about it, but it is exercised at times. And we are commanded to do so. Paul encouraged, I believe it's the Thessalonians, he encouraged them in this. And we also read in Timothy that he was supposed to do some things of that nature when necessary. The Bible speaks of the Corinthian letter. What did Paul say? There's some among you. And he listed, you know, different times listed sins that they needed to repent of, and was told what to do to withdraw. You know, that's one where he talks about that when we withdraw from one, that we're not to eat with them. Not even supposed to eat a common meal with them. And some hard things, you know, for those that turn their back on Christ. And this is just for the ones that are Christians. And I've often said, or I've said in the last few years, that I believe that the Bible's harder on the Christian than the non-Christian on things like that. On things like that, because, you know, it says that we are to associate with those that are sinners, and that we might, you know, with the implication that we might win them. But a brother or sister who turns out to let sin continually be a practice, we're not to have anything to do with them. And the reason being, so they will come back to Christ. So they'll miss the fellowship, so they want to be back in the fellowship, and they'll come back, repent of sin, and come back into the fellowship. So it's a good thing, even though it doesn't feel pleasant. And if you think about it, anything that's good usually has some pain involved somewhere along the line. The pain may be at the beginning, it may be at the end. Most time it's at the beginning. He
also
is.
The Roman first chapter is very strong on me.
Yep. And I'm afraid that maybe we fail there's been times that we probably failed at that where we shouldn't have. Question number 18. What did the apostles continue to do?
Signs and wonders.
With what results? Yep, yep. Verse 14, more were added to the Lord. Number 19, who were brought to Peter and the other apostles? Yep, the sick, and then see that the ones with unclean spirits. And so why did the people do that? Which I think is an interesting reason. So that the shadow.
Might
pass over them. Yep, it doesn't say in the passage there that actually did that, but just the idea that they brought them all out just in case.
Well, that's like the woman that touching the hem of Jesus's robe, just let me touch you, maybe that will help me. So until they were desperate.
Yep, the woman of the had the issue of blood. How many were healed?
Multitude.
Skip down to verse 16. Look at that.
Both men and women, it says,
they were all healed. Everyone. That's the last part of verse 16. That's a neat thing to think about, that every one of them were healed. Because you just imagine people probably came from everywhere. When they heard about this, they were probably just thronged with people. Just coming from everywhere. Question number 20. Is this the first mention of women being added to the Lord?
I'm going to say yes, because my Google went crazy on this. I mean, my Google could not give me a clear anything. So I'm going to go yeah, because it was just like trying to find something and I couldn't go with it.
You ever use DuckDuckGo? DuckDuckGo. It sometimes is more beneficial than Google. There's two ways to look at this.
In Acts 2, it doesn't specify. It just says those.
Yep. So when I read this, I was like, I don't know about this. Because specifically, this is the first time it's mentioned. Yes. But by implication, like you just said, the them, the they, that wasn't just men, that's women too. And, on the count we talked about the other day, there were women in that count. It wasn't just men. Chances are most of them were women. Or the count was much bigger, as we discussed, and what was there because of adding women in there with it. And, so if you look at it from that perspective, then the answer is no. But I think specifically, it's yes. That's a trick question.
Yes.
The one that's put in there to cause discussion.
Yes. There you go.
No, the correct answer is me.
True or false, we'll run through these right quick and then we'll do the general questions next week, start out. Number one, every needy person received the same amount.
False. As they had need.
As they had need. All Christians were commanded to sell their goods.
False.
False. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as God or deity in this context.
True.
I put true. But even though it didn't specifically say it that way, but it's there by context. Number four, is it still possible to tempt God as Ananias and Sapphira did?
True.
True. Number five, Peter gave Sapphira the opportunity to tell the truth.
True.
True. Yes, gave her the opportunity. Now let's go ahead and do the next ones. It was just five of them. Jesus said, none born of woman was greater than John.
True.
True. Matthew 11:11, Luke 7:28. Number two, John the Baptist was never in the church.
True.
Number three, Jesus was the only child Mary ever had.
False.
False. Do we even know how many she had for sure? Yeah, it was.
I just remember that one verse. Hey, Jesus, your mother and your sisters and your brothers are out here. And Jesus, like, these are all my sisters and my brothers.
Yep. Number four, Peter walked on the water.
True.
Jesus said, come here, and he walked on the water before he fell. Matthew 14:29. Number five, Jesus found no leaves on the fig trees which he cursed.
True.
He found no figs. Yep. The leaves were on it, the figs were not. Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 14.
What about Mark 11:20-21?
That's where the wither, that's where they came back through. He cursed the tree in those verses, and then they mention it when they come back. Say, oh, there's the tree you cursed.
Oh, okay, so. Okay.
If I understand it correctly, the fig tree has fruit on it before it has leaves, right?
It has the small fruit, yes. I actually have a picture of that from this year. I don't, not where I live, but my sister has a big one, and it has figs on it all through the summer, and the kids climb up in the tree, and they sit there and pull them and eat them. We pull in the driveway, reach up and get one, eat it, and they're pretty good.
In Tennessee.
In Tennessee. Yeah, they'll grow up. There's a Chicago fig. They'll grow up way up north.
Chris had a big tree.
Yep. You can buy them at Lowe's, believe it or not. Anyway, my sister sent me a picture about roughly a month ago, because they're a little bit ahead of us for some reason this year, and she showed me the twig. It had two figs on it, about like you little end up about like your little finger, and had just a little green leaf coming out between them. So the time that leaf comes out and gets big, the first round figs will be ready to eat. Anything else? All right, we'll pick up next lesson.